is the owner of the Liberty Coin Service and Premier Coins and Collectibles in Lansing and Delta Township. Patrick believes that the actions of President Obama, Congress, and the Senate to cure, and I say cure, the problem of the federal government by borrowing up to the debt ceiling guarantees that the U.S. dollar will suffer from hyperinflation. Patrick thinks that the compromise agreement that was reached was, in his words, and I quote, horrible. Good morning, Patrick.
Morning, Tony.
Why was it horrible?
Well, you can't solve a problem if you pretend that the problem is different than what it really is. All the politicians are talking about federal government accounting on a cash flow basis, not on an accrual counting basis, which is what's required of private companies to give you an accurate financial picture. The U.S. government is incurring trillions of dollars of future liabilities every year for pension and welfare benefits, Social Security, Medicare, military retirement, civilian retirement, and so forth. And they're not booking those or showing them in the budget because they're not going to be paid for 5, 10, or 30 years into the future. In early June, USA Today did an analysis of the fiscal 2010 budget and said the federal government, at a minimum, for that fiscal year, spent $7 trillion or incurred future liabilities rather than the almost $4 trillion supposedly spent, and that the actual federal budget deficit was at least $4.5 trillion. That's not the kind of numbers that they're talking about in Washington. They're talking about numbers that are drops in the bucket. Instead of saying, well, with the New Deal, that the federal budget or the federal debt will increase $7 trillion over the next 10 years, the actual federal budget deficit is going to be at least $50 trillion. So if you're cutting $1 or $2 trillion of expenses, that's not going to make a difference.
What does it mean when you say that the U.S. dollar will suffer from hyperinflation?
It's already happened. The value of the U.S. dollar is now down about 2% just since the House of Representatives voted to pass this legislation Monday. Since the U.S. government announced the Quantitative Easing 2 program in November 2010, the day after the elections, the value of the U.S. dollar compared to the price of gold is down over 20%. In effect, the U.S. government has defaulted 20% on its outstanding debt just in the last 10 months. With the new legislation that's being passed, you're seeing the stock market's getting pummeled, the value of the U.S. dollar is in trouble, and the price of gold is soaring. Investors aren't fooled. The dollar's going down the tubes.
Patrick, is this an issue, a situation that the folks who are in charge of it aren't smart enough? I'm talking about the politicians and the people who manage this and who supposedly are the bean counters. Are we smart enough to know really what's going on?
Yes, they should, and I suspect a lot of them do. But any politician in Washington that wants to talk about the accrual basis state of finances in Washington is probably going to be thrown out of office and be pretty unpopular. David Walker, the former comptroller of the United States, in effect the chief accounting officer, several years ago, did dare to speak out saying, well, the U.S. government is basically broke and bankrupt, and got so much heat that he quit. He's still going around the country telling people how it really is, but to talk like this doesn't make you popular in political circles.
I could play devil's advocate and say, well, Patrick, I know that you're an expert on the value of the American dollar, but you've been telling us this for about a year. We're still okay. We're still here. You're just, you know, you're blowing the horn, and it's not that serious a situation.
It's a lot more serious than the politicians are owning up to. The United States has one saving grace that other countries do not, and that is the status of the U.S. dollar having been the world reserve currency. In effect, all the dollars that go overseas to finance international commerce and are held by central banks around the world constitute an interest-free loan to the United States government. As a lot of your listeners are probably aware, there is a growing trend by different central banks to stop using the U.S. dollar for commerce. China has been especially aggressive at this, signing agreements with dozens of countries to no longer use the U.S. dollar to price commercial contracts. And the central banks are reducing their holdings of dollars. So, in effect, the interest-free loans that help the politicians sort of kick the problem down the road, their flexibility is getting less as time goes on.
You know, Patrick, in the news, China has been flexing its muscles and showing off its military capability. They've added quite a bit to that. And I wondered, in your recollection, has there been a country where someone has called their debt up and said, we want to get paid, we want you to pay up?
Well, back in the 1960s, France was aggressive at returning dollars to the United States when Charles de Gaulle was in charge there, saying the U.S. has promised to deliver gold if we send you the dollars. We want our gold. And that country basically is what forced President Nixon in 1971 to suspend redemption of U.S. dollars for gold.
And as we've talked about several times, if all the people who own gold handed in their certificates, there wouldn't be enough gold for them, correct?
It was illegal for Americans to acquire gold from 1933 to 1974. There just is not that much gold owned privately in the United States. Instead, if the U.S. government gets desperate, and I anticipate this will happen, there's a lot more assets in private retirement accounts that the government is talking about replacing with government bonds.